This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Our Father, we say thank you. We acknowledge your presence amidst us. We pray for help even in this part of the service. I pray that you bless me with utterance. Bless everyone listening. You bless their hearts to receive all that you have brought. That no one will be distracted. That no mind will be distracted away from your presence. That every mind, every heart will be focused in the name of Jesus. I bring myself under my parents in the house. Help me to flow according as all that is in their hearts in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. For in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. The theme of our supernatural clinic has been spirit versus flesh, cultivating nature and fruit. And we are in lesson 3. The topic today is way of the spirit versus flesh. Who can remind us what we learned last week? Thank you so much. Anatomy of the spirit. Open our Bibles quickly. Galatians chapter 5, 13 to 25. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. And Ecclesiastes 11, verse 5. One to go. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Can we go? And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 5. One to go. And thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. This morning, we have just two objectives. And the first one is to biblically design and expose the mannerisms and modes of expression that nurture and empower the formation of the fleshly nature, in contrast to the cultivation of the nature and fruiting of the spirit. The second objective is to compare through biblical insight the world and its systems that form and express the fleshly nature with the program of the Son of God that cultivates the nature and fruit of the spirit. So let's quickly go into the introduction. We want to look at way of the spirit versus flesh. So the introduction, quickly. Moses writing the laws upon the two tablets by the finger of God reveals that laws are meant to be written upon the tables of the soul. Just as the stone tablets were first fashioned, so the soul's inward tables are formed by knowledge. The laws are then inscribed upon the tables of the heart through the hearing and learning of doctrine. You can see that in Exodus 31, 15 to 16, when Moses was on the mountain, you know, with God, and God gave him two tablets of stone. I think this happened in two different ways. I think the first stone was God was the one that hewn the table of stones and wrote it with his finger. The second one was Moses had to hewn the stone by himself and write it because he broke the first one because of the disobedience of, you know, the children of Israel. So basically, this place is telling us that they hewn out tablets first, then they now wrote laws upon it. That was a physical expression of what was actually meant to be in the spirit. So meaning that they will first of all hewn out tables in our hearts before they can write out laws. And this place you can see that by knowledge, tables are fashioned. But then they can now begin to inscribe upon the tables of our hearts. Doctrine is the wisdom of expression for the knowledge resident in a soul. Nature is then formed in a soul, enriched with knowledge, as the heart yields to the learning and training of doctrine. The laws in the heart and mind are the product of rightly inscribed knowledge and doctrine. Romans chapter 6 verse 17 said, as ye have obeyed that form of doctrine. Say, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Isaiah 28 verse 9 to 10 was saying that whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Doctrine is not put into the heart by hearing alone, but by leading and training. I know last week we exalted the place of hearing, but doctrine, you know, cannot only be embossed, imprinted, cannot be established in the heart by hearing alone. There must be leading and training. So through this process, doctrine is engraved as law upon the soul. And this law is the spirit of the heart. Spirit of the heart, we call it the operating system by which the heart and soul function. Psalm 51 verse 10, talking about the spirit of the heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, this is not the human spirit he's talking about. He's talking about a working that can run the soul. Talking about a system that can be framed inside the soul and will be the operating manual by which the soul functions. Every soul you see, even your own soul, runs by a particular manual. Something runs that soul. That's why when you have two laptops, one can be a MacBook and one can be a Windows. You press something, a power button, and then you begin to see displays, right? Meaning that you are not only relating with the hardware. They have inscribed something inside that is running the external thing that you are seeing. Or why would you press Y on your keyboard and then Y is showing on the screen? You know there is something wrong when you press Y and it's showing Z. Right? So what is inside is framed to carry what is outside. So they are actually supposed to work seamlessly. They are supposed to work as one. So the operating system is designed according to the build of that system. We can see that the fall of man in the garden ensured that the knowledge of sin, which informs the fleshly nature, is in every man and is passed down from generation to generation. However, for this inward knowledge to gain wisdom of expression, training and leadings must be given to such a soul. After Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, the knowledge of the fleshly nature was not yet empowered with the wisdom for its full expression. However, Cain, being of that wicked one, was trained in evil ways, in bracket, doctrine, receiving the wisdom that gave full expression to the nature of that tree. You can see this in Genesis 3, 3 to 6, Genesis 4, 7 and 16, Jude 1, 11, and 1 John 3, 12. They said Cain was of that wicked one, whereby he slew his brother. So we could see that Cain did not become of the wicked one because he slew his brother. So killing Abel was not the tag that made him belong to the wicked one. He did not become wicked because he slew Abel. He was wicked. And that was where that proceed of killing Abel came from. So under the presence of God, Cain had become wicked, even without doing anything external. He had not killed Abel, but scripture recorded that he was of the wicked one already. By reason of transaction, by reason of opening up his heart to suggestions, impressions, hopes, and a painting of life that sin was offering him. You know, you can't consent without action. So Cain had not necessarily carried out any action in the natural, but his heart was already sealed. Right under the very presence of God. That's very scary. So basically what this introduction is trying to make us see, you know, last week we exalted the place of hearing, you know, but we know that when we hear, hearing does not automatically erase the already existing way that is in the heart. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you hear and you hear and you hear and you hear, what hearing does to you is to bring another mode of thinking to you. No, because scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? But you know, you can have thoughts, but it is not as you are thinking in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart. I like that word that says, so is he. You know, Jesus made me to look at Ezekiel that was talking about how Lucifer was formed. And they were saying that, I have made this so. Meaning that this thought is a self-generating thought. It is the default thought of that entity. That is how you have been wired to think. That's how you have been wired to think. So when a man is wired to think in a particular way, those thoughts automatically forms the way that man will be. A simple example. When you ask somebody about another person, and that person says, no, don't do it like this. So this is how this person wants his things to be done. We can easily see that it shows that that other person has a manual that is definite for how he wants his things done, which was informed by the way he was thinking. So we can see that the process of changing a man's thoughts is tied to changing his ways. So if you cannot change the way a man thinks in his heart, you can never change the way that is embossed in his heart already. So I want us to see two different things. There is thoughts and there is ways. Isaiah was saying that let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. And the wicked man, his what? His ways. So, when you go back to Genesis, one of the reasons, or the very reason that God concluded that all man has become flesh, is that the thought of his heart, the thought of the imagination of his heart, was wicked continually. So, when they can successfully change your thought, then they can change your way. So, forget changing of ways when thought is not changed yet. Because thought really is like the way maker. Thoughts are not dead. Thoughts are living substances. I know one of the greatest construction work that is happening right now is the construction of a way to God. I remember back then in school, from 100 level to 400 level, there was one road that they were constructing and they never finished till I graduated. Whenever you are going, you see those things parked on the road, people are still there. And, you know, road construction can be massive. When you're trying to make a way, can be a massive project. Now, if you are walking on a path and then you get to a dead end And then by your side, you see another path that branches to the left that is to lead you to where you are going. You don't naturally say you want to continue on a dead end because there's no way there. You branch into where you can see a way. So for every man, the way embossed on every heart is the way of flesh. So there is no way of the spirit in the heart of every man. Because our thoughts, are nuggets of light that are meant to show way. So when they throw a thought at you, it's meant to show you a way. So the nugget of light that we have been receiving and that has raised us up are things that show us the way of flesh. So when you want to naturally make any decision, you default to flesh because that is where your thought is aligned to. When you want to make an important decision, you don't have anything inside of you to make a decision for the spirit. Because you don't have another thought in your mind that is fighting the thought of flesh that has already been engraved in your heart. So you have naturally adopted the thought of flesh as your way. So when they begin to preach the gospel to you as an individual, the first thing that faith is doing is that he is bringing another kind of thinking. So that's why when daddy is ministering, daddy can minister for 3 hours, and he says, I just wanted to communicate one thought. A 3-hour message can be summed up into one thought. And it is a combination of thoughts that leads into way. So without the instrumentality of thought, you cannot find another way. You always default to the way that you have. You will always, every time, default to something that is already there. So the mercy of God, when Apostle Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God, is because that mercies of God is instrumentality of preaching and preaching to ensure that another thought begins to take shape in the mind and heart of those people. Does not mean that they have already made way inside them. But there must be another thought that is predominant enough to inform your walk. Isaiah 65 verse 2. Said, I have spread out my hands all the day unto rebellious people. Which do what? After what? So, when a man is walking, what you walk after thoughts. What informs your walk are the thoughts that you have gathered. What informs step by step movement are because there are thoughts that are pointing illumination in the direction. So that's why a man will never walk in the spirit if he is not taught doctrine. You know, it's very sad that we have interpreted doctrine as church traditions. We have interpreted doctrine. You say, my church doctrine is different from your church doctrine. In my church, we wear a ring. You don't wear a ring. In my church, we wear trousers. You don't wear trousers. In my church, men sit on one side. Everybody sit together. And we say that is doctrine. You know, that is not what scripture calls doctrine. Jesus was talking, you know, in the book of John chapter 7 verse 17. He said that he that would do the will of God must know of the doctrine. So, doctrine is tied to doing will. So, if any man would do his will, he shall know what? Of the doctrine. So, forget you can wear a ring, but you don't know doctrine. You might not wear a ring, but you have no affiliation with doctrine in any sense. You can be pious and do everything religious, but you don't know what doctrine is. Because doctrine is not all those physical things. Doctrine is an understanding of the will of God. I want to make us see what doctrine really is. And the process by which doctrine is imprinted upon the heart. Doctrine must be imprinted upon your heart. And it cannot be imprinted without the place of hearing first. Hearing starts, then leading. You know, we've been talking about spirit, you know, for months now. All that labor is to bring us to a place that we can really understand the importance and give ourselves to the training of the spirit for doctrine to be written in our hearts. No, Romans 6:7, that he said that ye were servants of sin. Say, but thanks be to God that you have obeyed that form of doctrine. What gives the delivery of doctrine to the heart is the preaching of the gospel. So, without the preaching of the gospel of Christ and the Father, doctrine can never be delivered to the heart. So, you don't know how deep a man's heart is.
There is no technology on earth that can deliver something to the heart. There is no known technology that can find its way to the heart of a man that is not the preaching of the gospel of Christ. So, to take delivery of doctrine, there must be exposure. There must be constant and consistent exposure to the atmosphere where the word is being preached. That place that says, who shall he make to understand doctrine? Nobody can understand doctrine unless they make him. Because there is a frame you must be in to understand doctrine. That's why, you know, doctrine is not just, I'm doing my best to be good. I'm trying to be okay. No. No. A man can be like that, but there's no change that is happening to him. And a man can remain a servant of sin for the rest of his life as much as doctrine cannot be delivered to his heart. So, thoughts are like the living way construction agents that God sends to ensure that the heart is prepared for way. So, God, in his infinite mercies, when he begins to, by the ministry of the word, by the ministry of, you know, the speakings upon us, begins to send certain thoughts in your heart. You know, when you see that diminishing, sometimes you'll be like, you are just teaching some things and you feel like, oh, this is complex. You know, many of the times we are used to the preaching of, well, just be doing well, you know, don't sin, don't lie, don't do all those things, and then, oh, you understand, oh, I got something today. No. But when you come to a place whereby they are weaving doctrine by reason of utterances, and your mind is finding it difficult to comprehend, is because they are beating us down. So what the thought they are bringing is high, is higher than the reality where we are dwelling in. So it is messy when they bring those things and it looks as though they are too complex that you cannot easily assess them. What they are doing is that they want to train your mind. They want to train your heart to begin to reach out for those things. So by the time you are exercising yourself in that thing, you are being made. You are being reprogrammed to a place whereby you can understand doctrine. So, it is a blessing that we are here. It's a blessing that we are hearing all these things. It is evil that the Christian journey has just been reduced to only try to do good and make heaven. Why is it a disservice to us? It is a disservice to us because the way to God will never be constructed like that. Say, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. How do you come to God when you don't know the way? A man can die and go to heaven, but he has not come to God. Because God is not a man. God is a spirit. So to go to God, you must find a way called spirit. You must have access to a reality of world that can lead you into the very presence of God. And they said, no flesh can glory in his presence. Meaning that flesh cannot find that access. Flesh can't step into the presence of God. So to find a way that will bring you into God, God must bless you with thoughts. Thoughts that begin to show you another way. That begins to show you another way. That begins to open your reality. Open your consciousness. Your awareness must be open. Say, be awakened unto righteousness and sin not. So you cannot stop serving sin if our awareness, our consciousness is not awoken by reason of another thought. So that foundation, you know, was just to make us see the next thing, which is the program of the world and the spirits of the world. That's one of our greatest enemy in finding this way. So the program of the world. No, you must know that you have enemies. Say, I have enemies. Say, Ogundile. But these Ogundile are not human beings. They are not people with flesh and blood. They are spirits. What is the interpretation of Idile? Household. You know, you are a household. You yourself. You are holding things. And those things that you are holding are your enemies. The members of a man's household. You know what they call the body? It's the members of the body. Multiply your members, which are upon the... No, there are things that we are holding that are our enemies already. It is good to understand that the adversary, the originator and propagator of the seed of evil in the garden is himself a temple. The fallen seed was forged when he corrupted his sanctuaries. Because of this, the fleshly nature of the seed can be nurtured, trained, and brought into expression
through the ways, doctrines, and wisdom that proceed from his own profaned holy place and most holy place. The world is the brainchild, design, program, and architecture of the adversary. It exists as a ground for training and raising souls by the doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. Cultivating and bringing into full expression the flesh program, it possesses the capacity to lure, spoil, and corrupt the good that is in a man through its courses, rudiments, traditions, philosophies, fashion, lusts, etc. The world, which is the unclean thing, and this present evil world are both architectures of the adversary. The world of ungodliness or uncleanness is designed to lead and teach the soul the course that forms the unclean and ungodly flesh within a man. This formation is driven and sustained by the law of sin and death, which works in the members to defile and raise souls that are not subject to or governed by God. The present evil world forges the fleshly nature of corruption that shapes a soul into a vessel of wrath, fitted for destruction. This wicked world raises souls that are exalted against God and opposed to his life. It operates by the law of hell and death, which forges within man the fleshly nature of iniquity and full disobedience. The full training and workings of the causes of this wicked world brings a man to a point where he becomes a lawful captive in his will and in his ability to act. At this stage, he is willingly under the hold of the laws of sin and death, and he derives his pleasure and satisfaction from them. Everything in the world is anointed to preach, entice, and bring the soul under its influence. The world seeks lifelong service from every soul and rewards its servant with its spirit, shaping their work, desires, and identity according to its course. Just briefly to explain that, you know, when God created, he created the world, you know, he created both heaven and earth, and he put, normally there is an irreconcilable distance or gulf between the creator and his creation because of the estate of the creator, right? That's normal. Now, in the level of creation as well, there are also distances. A cherubim is closer than a seraphim. A seraphim is closer than all works in the places of his dominion. Those are angels in the first heaven, you know, as you know, written in Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1. You can go there just to confirm. And man is the least closest, because man was made a little lower than angels, right? So when you look at that order, we can see that that order was much more like the demarcation of the tabernacle, where we have the most holy place, we have the holy place, we have the outer courts, and we have the camp. That thing that Moses brought on earth in the book of Exodus was a reality that heaven custodied. Because they told him that, build this thing according to the pattern that you have seen on the mountain, right? Don't add to it, don't remove from it. And he replicated that order. So in that order, we could see the outer court, we could see the holy place, we could see the most holy. When Solomon came, he built something that was longer and much more bigger. But it was also still the same thing that they were replicating. So the way God created, all these things were speaking to a reality that he has. So God has his holy place. God has his most holy place. God has his outer courts. God has his camp. And he created in that order. So the most holy that the angels are enjoying is a sign of the most holy inside God that they can never access, or that they don't have access to. The holy place that the seraphs are enjoying are a sign of the holy place inside God that they don't have access to. The outer court that the other angels are enjoying is a sign of what is inside God. So all these things are replications of life inside God, but not the original. So God himself custodes the original. He has the original hidden in himself that no creation has access to.
So the best that man had, which was Adam, was also not inside, was not part of the realities of the original that God had. Although it was also an expression of a replication of what God has. So also every creation also have these things. Angels have their holy place inside them. They have the most holy place and the outer court. Man also has it. But what we saw about Satan, you know, Lucifer, was that he corrupted his making. He corrupted his sanctuary, his most holy place, outer court. He ensured that, you know, sin and iniquity defiled that thing. He turned the laws governing him and he turned it upside down. Because he no longer wanted to give service to God. He wanted to turn service to himself. And because of that, you know, when you look at what we call the world is a design that came from that being to ensure that he can keep man. No, when you say something is a world is a reality of expressions that can be self-existent. It doesn't need anything external. I don't know if you've seen some people that they are just talking to themselves and they are in a world of their own. So when you say a world is an ecosystem that can self-generate, that can self-multiply, that can keep itself running without an external interference. So Satan designed worlds in different stratas. There's a world that Satan is in that no man has access to yet. But there are other worlds he has created that some men are accessing. And when you see people say that, he's the deputy of Satan, those things are lies. The world that Satan is in is not something any carnal man can have access to. You can't be carnal and have access to that world because that world is his own governance. That's what is governing his own realities. But he created the world that man can live in. So he created something, they call it the wisdom of men. By reason of the wisdom of men, a world has been created. So men can live by certain wisdoms that is prevalent amongst men, but they are in a world. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 was telling us. A man can also live by wisdom of fallen princes. That man has journeyed from just being carnal. He has moved into another world whereby spirits are informing his world. So when you see philosophies, when you see philosophies that drive men, when you see traditions that drive men, all these things are not ordinary. There's a philosophy around self-worth. There's a philosophy around the righteousness that men hold on to. And all those things are not from the world that God has made. Because the world God made in the beginning was corrupted. Because the world is in curses. That's why you can be in the world and be 100 level. You can be in the world and be in 200 level. In fact, you can be a PhD holder in the world. So, not everybody on earth is at the same level in the world. Diverse thoughts, thought patterns, diverse thoughts are resolutions, diverse judgments, but all of them are all layers in the world. Let me just give you a quick example. There is a part of the world that exalts childbirth and says, what is more than a child? Right? Or I will sell all I have just to send this child to school. See people selling their wrapper, selling everything because they will say, Abiyamototo, this is a good mother. Right? Then another part of the world is like, my body can't go through that stress. I'm not interested. And you see husband and wife, they make that decision. We don't want a child. Till old age, they don't have a child. They have just adopted a cat. Do you know those are two parts of the world? Does not make one better from the other. Do you see another extreme of the world that, you know, holds on to, they call it orukorere. Good name is better than silver and gold. But generation coming after us now, they'll be like, let's use the silver and go to buy name. But all these things are still in the world. A man can be speaking in tongues, coming to church, but he has not been delivered from the world.
In fact, that is why when your thought processes have not been changed by reason of speaking over you, you know, Lord was judging me about a particular thing, you know, some days ago. One of my brothers had an edge in something, and something just rose within me. That why can't this be me? Why is it him? Why am I not the one that is in this position? I was not thinking about it before. It just rose within me. I wanted to just die down. But Holy Ghost said, no. Look at where is that thought coming from? Don't just let that thing go like that. Hold it. Hold it. What informed this thing? Why did something rise up within me when I saw my brother have a particular thing that I don't have? Why was that your default response? That thing is a way in my heart. I did not know. In fact, I did not shame my face. I might have been smiling. But my heart was bringing up some things that, oh, what things can I do to ensure that I'm the one in this place? So that's when you see that law of Christ that says prefer your brother is a very high law. You can say, yes, I prefer my brother. But when the reality dawns on you, you know that you don't prefer nothing. No man prefers his brother. No man. I saw that time, I'm like, hey, I don't prefer this, my brother. Because I had that subtle wish that it was me. Holy Ghost said, hold it, dear, hold it, hold it, hold it. Can you extract this thought? Because that thing was a way. Now, the reason why it was the way it was, it's also something I was consistently thinking about. In fact, if you ask me, I would say that no. But at that instance, that thing just rose up. That was a walking of flesh inside of me. That I would never have known if they don't bring certain experiences to confront me. And I think I'm fine. When you look at fallen angelic spirits and their influence, you know, there are tutors and governors that train and lead the soul in the course of this world. They are not merely teachers of knowledge, but ministers of ways and doctrine. They impart a wisdom of expression, shaping thoughts, desires, and all conduct in every soul that comes under the influence of this world. For the formation and expression of the fleshly nature, these spirits do not possess the soul. Rather, they seduce and devise through lies of which Satan is the father. They rule and train by their fallen corrupted wisdom, teaching the world its luster and glory as the wisdom for living. Fallen powers and principalities teach the wisdom of men, and the rulers of the darkness of this world impart the wisdom of this world to make a man unclean and ungodly. They preside over the teaching, leading, and training of men in this ungodly world for the formation of the unclean and ungodly flesh, the very nature that is not subject to God. Then we have spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, leading the operations of the wicked world, imparting the wisdom of the princes of this world. Through their trainings, they bring souls under the law of hell and death until corruption prospers and comes to full expression. But we can see that a man can graduate. A man can move from one level of the world to another level of the world, whereby he begins to interface with different, you know, fallen spirits. Because Satan's intention is to make men come into the law of hell and death. The sin and death to him is still small. When you say, oh, sin and death, I'm just talking about when they hand you over to higher spirits, you know, when you start out, and a man can be very separated from certain works of the flesh, but yet he's still graduating in flesh. So I don't just want you to think, oh, I don't do this, I don't do that. Then that means, you know, flesh is not kidding. As long as your hope has not been changed. You know, we can all be in this gathering and we say, oh, God is our hope. We all jump up and we shout. So tell your neighbor, God is my hope. God is my hope. God is my hope. I'm going to God, not by power, not by might, but by your spirit, say the Lord. I am going to where? I'm going to God, into God. And we are marching into God. You know, where they really change our hope to go to God, is not in those songs first. Because we can sing those songs, but those songs are to create an awareness that they want to change our hope. It is when they want to change your hope that you see yourself grappling to hold on to that hope. Because no man wants his hope to go. When they really come to change your hope, you will see that you have warfare within that wants those hopes to remain. Because changing hope is not just saying that, oh, I want to go here. No, it's that they are now turning you away from the reality of that hope and bringing you into the hope of the gospel. That place, if you are not moved away from the hope that is in the gospel.
There is a hope that is in the gospel that every heart is supposed to be turned onto. And that hope is a singular hope. So the spirit of the world, you know, all these fallen spirits, we call them principalities, powers, Ephesians 6, you know, rulers of the darkness, you know, and what spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, all these things are cadres of spirit that we are to fight against. And you don't win these people in vigils. You don't fight these warfares in vigils. It's not vigil that we win that warfare. While you win this warfare is by walking. Because that place says, put on the whole armor of God. Therefore, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. You know, it's high time that we all know that we have beings that we are fighting. So when you see yourself, you are already feeling dozy now. You don't know one being is fighting you. But just good that you know that it's warfare. Our awareness must open that this world that you are in, spirits, they fight you. But the level of spirit that you are fighting might be lower. As you begin to walk, they begin to increase. They begin to heighten. That's why, you know, I just want you not to be discouraged. Because at a particular point in time, you were fighting some warfares. You feel that, oh, when I overcome this, this is the best. This is the end. This is my victory point. And you tried and tried, and then you break into victory. And before you said you want to rejoice, a higher warfare came. No, don't be tired, eh? It's because another set of spirits that say, okay, he has won us, so it's time for the next guys to come. I mean, you don't want to fight. So warfare is abound. And the only way to win this warfare is what we are going to talk about next, which is the learning of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So, see, God has blessed us that we come to church and we can learn Jesus. The Pharisees, Sadducees, they were reading scriptures, but they could not come to Jesus. Say, these are the things that testify of me. They're supposed to come to me. Say, learn of me, for I am what? So, he's not come and learn about me. Not come and learn of the things I've done. So the curriculum of every believer is to learn of him. So if we are coming to church and we are learning any other thing, we are not doing well. We must learn of Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is the embodiment of the learning of God. In him are the precepts, knowledge, and doctrine that give victory over the law of sin and death and the law of hell and death. In Christ is the godly and incorruptible nature that brings true liberty, deliverance from every manner of fleshly nature and expression. The learning in the person of Jesus is given in measures, mysteries, and doctrines, as Jesus is in himself also a temple. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the everlasting law are found in him, for he is the fullness of God's wisdom and truth. That is why school, the real school, is in church. Oh. Forget physics 404. Forget about 101. Prerequisite. You know, the real learning is in church. All these meetings we are having, all this interaction with the brethren, with authority, this is the real school. This is the school that we count for eternity. There's a school that we count here. There's a school that will say you are a BSc holder. But there's a school that when you go through it, you can be an eternal life holder. Say BSc holder. So you are holding something, right? And it's BSc, ba? You can be an MSc holder because you went through school. You can be a PhD. But you are all holders. But you can hold all these things but not hold eternal life. Ephesians was saying that ye have not so learned Christ. So there's a learning you can learn that when you are holding something, people will not see what you are holding. Because here they can despise it. Because it is not seen, it is unseen. So by the time you are holding on to those things, you are already acquiring degrees in the spirit. You are acquiring degrees, you have gotten the degree of Christ. You are pursuing, oh, okay, I'm done with the degree of Christ. You know, some people will receive the degree of Christ and say, okay, I'm okay with this one. No, but when you're finishing BSc, some people was like, for the next 365 days, anything book I know one read. Abby? Because you have read and read and read and you are tired. See, I don't even need to, but I'm not going to read them. But you see some other people, they say, okay, BSc, I don't want to hold BSc alone. I want to hold something else. They go for a master's program. And then by the time they look at it, one of them spent the other years not, and the other person is already a master holder. Then the other person is clear, oh, I don't want to stop here. I want to continue. Before you know it, he's holding another thing. So by reason of continuity, what you hold changes. So that's why in church, you cannot say, it's only one thing you want to be holding and that's everything there is. No, it is a school. It has a curriculum. There is a starting point and there are junctions before you arrive at the end.
So you can go to heaven and some people are eternal life dropouts.
They still arrive at heaven, but say, oh yeah, give me your certificate. Say, ah, ibiti mo kawede. Where I was able to read to is O level. They will not say, okay, all you O level people congregate in this area. Just stay here. We are coming. Okay, the next set though, how many of you were able to go on to BSc? Maybe the learning of Christ. Say, ah, we are, oh, BSc holders. Stay here. How many of you now learned the Father? Oh, show us your certificate. You know when you say show us your certificate, it's your soul that's certificate. What you learned here is your certificate. That's what you go with you over there. I said, show us your certificate. Say, they were teaching me this thing. Oh, I did not give my heart to it. Some other people, they say, oh, everlasting life, oh, that's good, but you could not finish. And people, okay, if you have eternal life certificate, come here. And you see, everybody might look, people too, they have eternal life certificate. But you are in heaven, no? But what your soul has learned is different. You could not continue till the end. And it will be very distinct. It will be very clear. What you learn here is what you show there. So in learning Jesus, there are measures. The first measure is the measure of Christ. Meaning that in milk, you have not even received measure yet. Milk is like preparatory class for you to receive measure. So the first measure is the measure of Christ. It will make your soul new, free from the law of sin and death, by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This learning forms the godly man, a soul established in life and peace. Such a man is washed, cleansed, renewed by the abundant word of Christ. Faith, hope, and charity are the governing principles of the doctrine of Christ. These commandments purify the soul when obeyed through the Spirit. Through them, the believer's hope and trust become anchored in spiritual things, not in the carnal things that strengthen the flesh. And you don't know when your examination has been set. Examination that shows that, Omode, it passed the class of Christ. It might just be, go and say sorry to that sister. And in your, no, by the time you analyze everything and you tell me, even me, I'll say that, no, you have tried. And Holy Ghost is telling you, go and apologize to that sister. This is your final class. He let us mark you to go. Go and apologize. Say, no, I no apologize. And you go and check your result is F. You have to carry that class again. Because you refuse an obedience. I'm just trying to use academic words to show us what I'm saying. That it is measures. You know, there's tests, there's examination. You do tests in Christ. You do exam in Christ. They will mark you. In the realm of the spirit is very open. They will mark us. You know, sometimes the warfare is between what the Holy Ghost is saying and how you want to feel about what you want that person to see. And you could just say, can you just let it go? Can you just keep quiet? Can you just go and say this particular thing? And you'll be like, I don't want to be a fool. But all those things are our past marks in Christ. So, journey of faith, hope, charity, they are the commandment that is resident in Christ. 1 Timothy 1 was seen at the end of the commandment. Is charity out of a what?
Joy!
And of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Seven spirits of the Lord train and tutor know our souls when we are learning Christ, leading us in the way of understanding so that we may ward down the uncleanly fleshly nature within. Their work raises the godly man after the image of Christ, making the Spirit of Christ dwell within and operate the soul. Through the spiritual tutoring, the believer is conformed to Christ and empowered to walk in righteousness, life, and peace. It is in Christ that they begin to change your understanding of righteousness. Things that you were perceiving as, oh, this is okay, they begin to tell you, no, this is not righteous. This is not righteous. And you're like, no, I'm not. I don't lie, I don't fornicate. I mean, if you know that, in place of prayer, one person, you know, stayed away, abstained from flesh, from works of the flesh. And when he was praying, they say he lifted up his face to heaven and was telling God,
I am not like this man. I am not like this man. Look at me. Eh? And they said that man did not go home justified because he was not standing in righteousness. So you might not do certain things, but the state of your heart towards your brother has made you unclean. Your judgment on certain matter, you are defied you and you are unrighteous at that instant. But yet, when they look at you, you are very clean. You are very pious. You are very together. But when they want to mark you, that rich young ruler, he said, go and sell all you have. The inability to do that disqualified him. Then we move to the stature of Christ, which is the learning of the Son of God. You know, so when we say Christ and Son of God, some people have fought us that, are you saying different things? Why are you trying to elongate matter? No, like I've shown us now, he's the same person, but he's in curriculums. He's the same man, but he's in measures. You can choose to learn a little measure, but not further. Because he said, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He houses the fullness of the riches and the wisdom of God. So you can take a little measure and say you are okay with it. So when we say Christ, we're just talking about Christ the measure. But there is the Christ, the fullness or the stature, which is a life called everlasting. We are trained in the course of the Son of God for the formation of the divine nature within our soul. In this course, the heart and reins are searched and tried so that every wicked way may be removed and the soul may be led in the way everlasting. Through this divine process, the everlasting laws are inscribed upon the heart and mind. Consider in Hebrews 8 chapter 10. No soul can be brought under the training of life everlasting except he has firstly profited with the doctrine of Christ, which is the first measure. The mystery of God and of the Father, also called the doctrine of the Father and the Son, are the ways everlasting that are tattooed upon the soul by the seven spirits of the Lord God. Iniquity, corruption, and the bondage of death, which cause barrenness of the fruits of God's divine nature, are overcome, and the soul is made fertile by the commandments of life everlasting. Thus, the believer puts on the nature of the living and true God, having no idol or hold on this present world. Tell your brother, what are you holding? The believer who possesses this nature is one who can truly serve God and is reckoned as the one who knows God, possessing the love of God within. This is the nature in which abundant and abiding fruit blossoms. The fullness of Christ is the reward of such a believer who has fully submitted to the training of his Son. The fleshly nature deceives a man into thinking it can be switched on and off at will. However, it is a complex system of mystery that binds the soul to its service at various points. Only the fluidity and diversity of the Spirit provide the wisdom needed to untangle and dismantle the workings of the flesh within any soul. The fleshly nature of death must be confronted by the living nature found in the Son, not by mere determination or displays of spirituality. Therefore, it is essential to rightly discern and learn the Son. This is the true meaning of walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is not closing your eyes and shaking and say, oh, no. Walking in the Spirit is that you are learning a being. You are learning Jesus. You are learning the Son of God. And there's an order to learning. The measure of Christ first. Then the what? The stature. This is the full stature. Ephesians 4 was saying that, you know, the reason why we're given apostles, prophets, you know, pastors, teachers, evangelists, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So my brothers and sisters, you have one thing to learn in this world that you are in, is to learn Jesus in all his measures. That's the only deliverance from the world. That's the only deliverance that can change. Because in him, he has thoughts he will give you. Thoughts that would begin to pathways, breakways, begin to show you. No, there was a cry in the book of Isaiah. Say, make straight the path. Say, every mountain shall be made low. Say, every crooked path shall be made straight. All flesh is grass, and all the glory of man are the flowers of the field. So, no matter how beautiful flesh has painted itself to us, you know, we all know that flesh really is not anything more than grass. And the most beautiful person that you have seen, all these idols that you have seen, all these models that are, you know, everywhere, and they are preaching the earth,
A man can be on the altar self and preach the earth. He can preach the world. Because they are not preaching Jesus. But we thank God for his mercy that's making us to learn Jesus. And we receive strength even to learn him until the end. Can I just bow down our heads and pray this morning?
Can we respond to Jesus for help? That the Lord will help us. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we appreciate Pastor Praise? Okay, way of the Spirit versus flesh. We all know that, like Pastor taught us, that way is where tendency actually found from. Can we see that Genesis chapter 6? Okay, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great, that's verse 5, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the law that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. So you can see that God also has so. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast of the creeping things and the fowls of the earth, for the pandemic that I have made them. Genesis chapter 6, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty, which were of old, and men of renown. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So God has his way. And scripture says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Because one thing that this lesson really want to communicate to us is that when we think about flesh, we need to see it from our thinking. And that our thought comes from a way that is actually inside of us. And that before we can change our thought, they need to change the way. Because what the enemy did was that he corrupted. You know, to corrupt is to pervert. You know, Pastor Prince was talking about what happened to Lucifer. So what he did was that he changed, you know, the way of God inside of him. Because he's every creature of God, both the heavenly creature, even to us, to men here on earth, are love creatures. So what he did to himself was that by virtue of what he allowed, he corrupted the love that is inside of him. And that thing became hatred. And that is why when Satan is trying to do good, what he's still doing is what is evil. And that is why when a man feels that he's receiving something from the enemy and it looks good, that thing that looks good in it is actually evil. Because the tree is actually the tree of good and evil. So when Satan offers good, we should know that in that good is actually what? Evil. So what the Lord actually wants us to see is that there is a warfare that our heart needs to be tuned to. He was sharing how a thought came to your heart. And there's a way you can just quickly want to gloss over it. No, no, no. I prefer my brother. It's not just about confessing it. And that's what we need to see. Yes, yes, I will not take that thought. Yes, he's my brother. I should prefer him. Charity says, he's good. But there is a place of a strain where that thing is coming from. If you don't look deep into it, and you just quickly just, I've said it. It's coming back in a bigger way. So for every thought that visits us, you should know that it's coming from somewhere. And that is why there is a manner to measure growth. How do I know that I'm growing? 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a what?
A child.
And I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. These are three parameters to measure my growth. So, how do I know that something is happening to me? What is my conversation? When you see a conversation, don't just be emotional about it. You know, there's a way you can be emotional about, like, the fact that somebody was caught stealing does not mean he has repented. Even though the person can be crying. Like, oh. But he's actually crying because he was caught. So, you should know that there is more to this thing. He said, when I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. Understanding is where warfare to fight the enemy comes from. You know, when Jesus went to the mountain, Jesus was driven by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted by the devils. It's the Spirit that drove him. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Please don't misconstrue this. We are praying people. We continue to pray. We are not going to stop praying. But we need to know that on many occasions, it does not move the enemy. The adversary is not moved by your prayer. Because how will Jesus, after he has prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, even if nobody tells you that you are spiritual, you should be feeling spiritual. And just and he hungered. And the enemy came to him. Because understanding is the wellspring of life. And that is why you cannot joke with doctrine. Because doctrine is understanding of the will of God. After you have fasted and you have prayed, what are you going to do with it? So the enemy came to Jesus to tempt him to see if he will do the will or not. So what the enemy actually fears there is what is understanding. So when they understanding is what informed the heart to do the will of God. And that is why it's a labor to understand. We must labor to understand. When you don't labor to understand, you are saying that you are not ready to do the will of God. And with all sense of, you know, sincerity, we need to understand this thing. You know, there's a way some of us feel bothered. We feel, you know, overwhelmed when labor is going on around doctrine. Because what they are trying to build, because what is called law of sin and death is a building too. He now has a spirit inside of it, which is called the law of hell and death. That's the place of Satan in every man. Even when you have a house, you are not going to sleep everywhere in the house, right? There is the place of the rest. So Satan located a place called the mist in the soul of man. He has not gotten there, but he himself is still looking for that place because he wants to rest. He wants us to carry him in our spirit, soul, and body. And the same thing God wants to do with us. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. And I thought as a child. The word of thought is very real. I don't know, God just showed me mercy. A thought was coming to my heart. I know I shouldn't think that way. By virtue of understanding, you know, just drop it. No, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. But I know that that thing is still there. So I began praying, you know, listen to some tape. I just know that I need to be empowered. You know, listen, try to listen to it. And I had an experience. And in that experience, I saw that struggle. It's a thought coming, and it was so much in my heart. In that experience, I just saw the frame of that thought. Have you seen vampires before? So when pastor says that thoughts are living entity, but I don't know why God just showed mercy to see that. I don't need to see that before I should drop it, right? But I know to really sometimes give you an experience of some things. They just did that to me. For me to see what I was trying to still consider and not to consider. Because before you give an expression, a thought has been formed. And our warfare is actually in the spirit. That Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 14, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery dart of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword, which is the word of God. And that is why we need the word of God. The word of Christ will be preached to us, but the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of for all sins, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. What is in the gospel is actually the empowerment to do the will of God to the uttermost. So we need to know that the Lord wants us to know that there are tendencies in us, and we must fight. And not just fight for some time, fight to the end of our days, if we'll be able to experience salvation. This was the thought of the men that handed over the gospel to us. This was their life, and they came to the end of it. 2 Corinthians said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. We have to revenge when your obedience is what? Is fulfilled. Can we respond to the Lord this morning?
So that's when you see that law of Christ that says prefer your brother is a very high law.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.